This podcast is part of the Deluxe Edition Network. To find other great shows on the network, head over to deluxeeditionnetwork.com. That's deluxeeditionnetwork.com.
Hello, listeners. I'm Allie, and this is Quad Pro Quo. As always, I'm joined by my three co-hosts, Tammy.
Hello.
Matt.
Hello there.
And Guido.
Hello.
We are a film podcast inspired by the quid pro quo scene in Silence of the Lambs. Each month we pick a theme, and each week one of us picks a movie that falls within that theme. And we are starting April, which is Guido Appreciation Month.
Woo! Yes.
Yay!
It's my month.
Happy birthday.
Happy
birthday.
I mean, it's literally already happened. You. Isn't your birthday it's the first day of April?
It's so the, we don't have to tell our listeners that.
Easter.
So yeah, so
and it's April Fool's
Day. By the time this episode is out, his birthday's already happened. I'm sorry.
It's true.
His level up day.
Is every year, you know, a cliche on your birthday, like somebody does an April Fool's joke?
Yes. It's unavoidable.
Or does someone make a joke about how, like,
I got you something,
you
but
were, like, you were the April Fool's joke?
I am.
You were born.
Yes, 100%.
Something like that.
Every time. 100% of the time, someone will make a joke, and I'm like, you know, never heard that one before.
Nope.
Thank you very much.
You should do stand up.
What was the best actual prank or April Fool's? Because I can think of one that I thought was good.
Nothing stands out, to be honest.
All right, so Guido's mom likes to
prank
her.
Oh, the fucking Oreos. God damn it.
And so she brought over a pack of double stuffed Oreos and left them out. And then we had, was that your 30th party or was it another one later? We had like actual people over. I know my dad was one of them. He ate an Oreo and there was toothpaste in it.
That's a waste of toothpaste.
She's a criminal. She tried to kill people.
It was
disgusting. She tried to poison them.
It
she's
was pretty
a
funny.
Sick,
watching.
Sick woman.
I mean, she didn't put like Visine in someone's drink or anything like that.
Well,
I mean,
Joe had one and Joe told her like...
It was delicious.
Joe looked into her face and said, you see this face? This will be the last face you see before you die.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's Jeez. So subtle.
Joe can be intense.
That's a nice way of putting it.
I mean, fortunately with your dad, though, he was probably like three sheets to the wind, so he didn't even notice, right?
No. He left. If he came over to our house, then he wouldn't have been. But he took a bite out of it, and he's like, well, this is disgusting.
Did they even have... I know they had Oreos back in the 70s, but did they have double-stuffed Oreos back
no,
in the 70s?
No, I don't think so.
No? Just single ones.
Just single ones?
Mm-hmm.
I would have rioted, too, then.
Oh, like the riots in my pick for Guido Appreciation Month?
There was a riot?
Well, we're all tasked with picking a movie we think you'll like, Guido. And I have picked a movie that you haven't seen before, I believe.
Yeah, there's bonus points involved.
Yes.
I don't like this with the bonus points.
You were the one that
you
brought
don't
that
like
up.
It because you're going for a softball.
We'll go,
a movie you know
we'll
you
go to
love.
We'll go to the videotape. You were the one that said that before.
I did?
You did.
You did.
And yes. Now, and then you're sitting there and you're like, I don't like that, even though I picked a movie that I know he loves because we watch it probably once every month.
So. No, we don't. We quote it every month.
You definitely quote it a lot.
Oh, for fuck's sake, you quote it every day.
I know.
All right. Well, each of us is going to pick a movie we think Guido will like. And then at the end of the month, we will rank the picks. My movie came out in 1999. It's directed by Spike Lee.
My good friend.
Oh, God. It's a Spike Lee joint.
Yes.
It's a Spike Lee joint?
Yes.
It's a Spike Lee joint.
It's one of my favorite joints.
Stars John Leguizamo, Adrian Brody, and Mira Sorvino. It's Summer of Sam. There was something in the air.
You danced so great tonight, baby.
Ah, because you're beautiful.
New York City, 1977.
Is that Richie?
What's happening, guys?
You come back to the neighborhood looking like a freak. You're supposed to be okay with that?
A time of endless possibilities.
You want to be my dog?
A naughty girl.
And serial hysteria.
Double homicide.
Police received a letter from the .44 caliber killer, calling himself the Son of Sam.
What happened?
I just saw the bodies.
I am the monster, Beelzebub. In one hot summer...
These are victims 6 and 7.
In one neighborhood.
Vinny saw the dead bodies last night.
Saw the bodies?
Between friends and lovers.
The Son of Sam killer who has been targeting young women has caused panic-stricken brunettes to dye their hair blonde.
I feel like I'm cheating on you with you.
Anyone is a target.
Woo!
Woo! Let's go around the room.
Murder.
Let's go around the room. Have you seen it? Were you excited to watch it? Tammy.
I recognize that white suit that he wore to the dance club.
Oh, okay.
But I don't remember seeing it all at once. And I was, you know, I saw all of the Italian men in it, and I was looking forward to it.
It's my favorite part.
Matt, your good friend Spike Lee, did he call you when he was making this movie just to make sure you were going to like it?
That's how I decided. I think that's how we decided we were best friends, because when I first met him, I mean, yeah, I gave him a softball question talking to him about Denzel and Inside Man. But then I was like, I was thinking of another question. I was like, hey, yeah, but you also did The Summer of Sam. That was a very interesting movie for you because it's not your usual subject, because it's about white people. I mean, he is a very predominantly like African American oriented director.
Yeah.
So like this movie, I was like, okay. And then he was just like, well, you know, sometimes I got to do things different. It's just how it is. And then we went and got like, we went and saw a Knicks game together. It was really fun.
Did you go grab some pizza beforehand?
Wow. Yeah.
That's great.
And then, I mean, but yeah, I have seen this before. And sometimes I often forget it existed. I felt like it was a fever dream, like the Son of Sam was having.
Yeah.
But no, I was really looking forward to watching it again.
Guido?
What was that Spike Lee joint where there was like a pizza, there's a pizza place?
Do the Right Thing.
That's Do the Right Thing.
Do the Right Thing. Yeah. Okay. A lot of the same actors.
Yep. He likes to use a lot of the same people.
I said earlier, I have not seen this movie. However, I remember my dad saying that I was not allowed to watch it until I was 30. he said, this is a capital R, okay? And no, I don't feel comfortable with you watching it. No.
It's a hard R.
This isn't Terminator.
Oh, I have a fun fact about that.
It's like, this should be NC-17.
Well, before we get to the movie, I'm going to spit some facts about the Son of Sam. And talk a little bit about, you know, him and his murders. Okay, so this movie is based on the Son of Sam murders. So David Berkowitz was also known as the Son of Sam, also known as the .44 caliber killer. He pled guilty to 8 shootings that began in New York City on July 29th, 1976. Berkowitz grew up in New York and he served in the United States Army, also Jewish, one of the first Jewish serial killers. Using a .44 special caliber Bulldog revolver, he killed 6 people and wounded 7 others by July of 1977, terrorizing New Yorkers. And it was also like, again, the heat wave. It was just like a combination of really crap stuff.
It was a perfect storm of
perfect
shit.
Storm. So Berkowitz eluded the biggest police manhunt in the city's history while leaving letters that mocked the police and promised further crimes, which were very highly publicized in the press.
Yeah, it was like an East Coast Zodiac.
Basically, yeah. So he was arrested on August 10th, 1977. A traffic ticket or a parking ticket is what did him in.
It's always something stupid. Small.
And he was subsequently indicted for 8 shootings. He confessed to all of them and initially claimed to have been obeying the orders of a demon manifested in the form of a black dog belonging to his neighbor. The dog's name was Sam. After being found mentally competent to stand trial, he pled guilty to second-degree murder and was sentenced to 6 consecutive life sentences in state prison with the possibility of parole after 25 years. So why even give him 6 life sentences if you're going to let him out in 25 years? It's fucking ridiculous.
Well, they're never going to let him out. It's like they never let out Mark David Chapman.
Yeah.
We never let him out, and he's eligible.
So he subsequently admitted that the dog and devil story was a hoax. In police investigations, Berkowitz was also implicated in many unsolved arsons in the city. He is now 70 years old and is serving time at Shawangunk Correctional Facility in New York.
He also converted to Christianity.
Yep.
He likes that New Testament.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you find Jesus in prison, you're also more likely to get out, I think.
I think a lot of people find Jesus in prison.
All right.
They call him Jesus.
Jesus finds them in the shower.
All right.
Whoa.
So
that escalated quickly.
Yeah. All right. So we start out. Writer Jimmy Breslin, who is a real person, he was an investigative journalist who's the Son of Sam wrote letters to. So the guy in the beginning who does that kind of monologue, he's also in the end, is Jimmy Breslin. And he used to write for, I think, like the New York Post. And kind of like the Zodiac wrote to the San Francisco Chronicle, Son of Sam wrote to the New York Post and specifically wrote to Jimmy Breslin. So he begins narrating the film, telling the viewers about New York City's current prosperity. However, things were not always this way, showing news articles from 1977 about the .44 caliber killer and explaining how the city was in a massive state of decay, explaining that there are 8 million stories in the Naked City, and this is just one of them.
I like how 2.5 minutes into the movie, someone gets like...
Oh, yeah, blown away.
2.5 minutes into the movie, we get ass play and a double murder. It's awesome. Yeah. It's great. Anal sex and the double murder.
I kind of... it is pretty great.
Not in that order, though.
I just wish it kind of started with that. I mean, I'm sorry. I really didn't care for the Jimmy.
I like the Jimmy Breslin stuff.
I didn't like the Jimmy Breslin stuff, especially because it like looked like it was filmed with a camcorder, right? Like compared to the rest of the movie, it looked so shitty.
That's what the TV was though back then.
But it kind of took me out of it, you know.
Because even when they show like the news coverage with Spike Lee doing his reporter thing, like it looks like a grainy 70s.
That's fine. But I mean,
he nails the setting.
He's
nails it.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the things I always say that why I think Ben Affleck is a good director is because he makes the setting another character in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
He always makes Boston look like an actual character, and Spike Lee does that with New York. Like, he's really good at it. Yeah. It always has been.
His accents are so much better than like all the other accents.
We're setting a real low bar, so.
I'm just saying.
Saying that because they're all Italian and they just have speaking in their own cadence.
I don't think Leguizamo is Italian.
No, he's not. He's his,
I think he's Puerto Rican.
Yeah, he's definitely Hispanic. Yeah. So,
but he's from New York, so
he's got the New York accent.
Right,
thing.
But it helps.
When it comes to accents, are we forgetting about the one character who's like faking an accent in this movie and it sounds like total
the women?
Ass?
Who, Adrian Brody?
Yeah, when he's like, oh, I went to London.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
We'll get to him later.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is something.
So we are shown a disgusting apartment with a man screaming to stop. It is a gross apartment. An incessant dog from barking. So
and
this
he's
is
wearing
obviously
his translucent undies.
Yeah, it's gross. Eventually he goes out and shoots two girls talking in a parked car.
Should have been talking.
Then we cut to Vinny, John Leguizamo. He's so foul in this movie.
He's such a piece of shit.
And his wife, Diana.
He's so little.
Played by Mira Sorvino. He's very
That's
short.
His wife?
Yeah,
that's...
Mira Sorvino.
He's such a narcissist.
Okay. Oh, right.
Yeah.
They're going to the...
So they're going to a nightclub.
He says it several times.
Yeah.
Diana's cousin, who only speaks Italian, asked to be taken home. Vinny offers her to give her a ride, allowing Diana to stay.
A lot of gabagoo, a lot of bafangoo, a lot of that.
And then he does give her a ride. We then cut to him, again, the anal sex, in the back of a car. Like, he is going to pound town.
Yeah, he's railing her.
On his wife's cousin.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is...
Yeah, and then they get caught.
So that they get caught before he can finish.
Yeah, you get to see his butt.
The two are scared off by another couple in the car behind him. And as Vinny speeds off, the killer comes out of the bushes and kills that couple. So so he goes back, he picks up Diana. So he forgot to bring Diana her sandwich. Her accent's a lot in this movie, I feel like. It's very... I don't know what it is. It's a lot.
You think it's forced?
It's women with the Italian accent.
But it's not an Italian accent.
It's super hot.
It's like a Queens or a Bronx accent.
Yeah.
But it's like,
oh, come on.
Oh, Vinny, can you get me a sandwich? Cool cut. Like, it's very, like, forced.
Like Margot Robbie in Wolf of Wall Street.
I like that one. That one's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, she's fine.
Oh, she's so fine.
Very fine.
And I mean,
do you know she actually didn't wear underwear in that movie when Leo was...
Yeah, we all see it.
Yeah. If I look like that, I wouldn't either.
The shop factor, I guess.
If I looked like that, I would walk around naked all day long. That 100%. Woman's body be banging. Like, amazing.
Because doesn't, like, Richie goes and kisses her, and she, like...
Yeah, so when they're driving home, he kisses her, and she, like, can obviously smell her cousin's puss.
I smell your pussy juice!
How do we know?
But I thought they did...
Well, he must have gone down on her, too.
So you're saying she caught some of that truffle butter?
Well, all I'm saying
she caught some of that.
You don't start with anal.
After.
You gotta, like, you know, you gotta get him up to speed.
He drizzled truffle butter all over that sandwich she was gonna
that
get.
That is disgusting.
Maybe
you're so
he needed
gross.
To, like, lube her up in the back.
You do need to lube her. You need anyone. Yes. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's lube. Spit does not work for anal sex.
Neither does tears, but.
Well, apparently it does for them.
Okay. So he makes an excuse of why it took him so long because he had to pee.
I had to pee.
Yeah.
I had a lot to drink tonight.
Yes. So they arrive home and the police are there.
She didn't believe him.
No, because she can smell her cousin's puss all over his face.
Yeah. How does she know what her cousin's puss
smell
smells
it.
Like?
Watching the movie.
That is what I told him. He was like, how would she know? I'm like, girls know what pussy smells
how
like.
How does she know that it's
fucking
her cousin's?
We also know what it tastes like.
I mean, he brought her cousin home. Yeah. I mean, can't we figure that out pretty easily?
She'd be like, I'm getting hints of Italy and olive oil and
what's that? Cannoli? Ketchup and onions.
Oh my. Ah, yes, this must be my cousin.
This Gallic.
As compared to the other tramps that you fuck around with.
All the tramps.
It's Gallic pussy.
It's Gallic pussy. It's
Nobody goes down on my cousin but me, she says.
Oh my gosh. So Vinny goes to investigate, and to his horror, it is the same couple that scared him off. So they've been shot right in front of his house. And there's this weird scene where he like reaches in. I don't think he's really doing it. He's just kind of imagining it. I'm not 100% sure. But he goes to investigate and...
He got blood on his hand.
I thought it was... I mean, when you just said that it was the couple, like the couple after them that got shot, I thought, oh, did he realize that that was the car that honked at him? And then maybe he felt like, oh, that could have been me.
Yeah, that's...
I think that's why he had such an emotional reaction to...
I think
yeah,
you're right.
He throws up. No, yeah. You're right. I think you're right. Absolutely.
But I didn't think that when I was watching the movie in real time. Like, I just thought of that as you were talking.
Was it because you were thinking about how disgusting John Leguizamo is in this movie?
Yeah, he's foul, probably.
And he's always... I know it's hot. It's like the hottest summer on record. Everyone is so fucking sweaty in this movie. Like, everyone is just like sweating olive oil and
except
it's just sweaty.
You don't stop having butt sex because it's hot.
Except, oh, no.
I mean, except for the... I mean, there's except the lube, for except for the boss of the neighborhood, the guy from Roadhouse.
What's that guy's great. That
guy. Ben Gazzara.
Yeah, he's never hot because he's always sitting in his...
That's because he's connected.
His shirt's always open.
Yeah.
So
JCPenney came to the Bronx because of him.
So basically the 44 caliber killer is back. So I guess because he was active for a year, but it's not like he was killing people every night, obviously. So
he
took some breaks.
Got to wait for one of the stars to go down. So yes. You know, you get up to 4 stars.
He went and did a semester abroad.
Did he?
Yeah.
All right. So the next day, Vinny's friends. So we got Joey T, who is Michael Rispoli. Brian and Anthony inquire about the killer. They tell Vinny that the killer probably saw him and will come after him, too.
Mean.
They're joking, but Vinny begins to take this to heart. Also, he's probably high off coke or
Quaaludes,
whatever the fuck he's taking. I mean, always high. Soon after, Richie, Adrian Brody, second Oscar winner in this movie, shows up dressed as a punk. He's adopted the punk way of living. So then we meet Ruby, played by Jennifer Esposito, ex Mrs. Bradley Cooper.
Quad pro quo alum. Don't say a word.
Oh, yeah.
She is. Yeah, she's the discount Mariska Hargitay.
Yes.
Weirdly, she's also on SVU.
Yeah, she's on SVU now.
So she's the last to arrive, and after being dumped by her douchebag boyfriend, who's driving a very nice car. Nice cars in this movie.
I think it was an Austin Healey.
It's really nice.
I didn't like how he parked it.
I didn't like how he left.
He's an
fucking
entitled
asshole.
Oh, you mean where he calls her a skank? I'm sorry, a Dago Wapskank.
That's
what
I'm fucking talking about. You don't say that.
Pardon my language. Not in front of all of the her brothers.
It's a good way to get your ass kicked.
Yeah. Basically, he was only using her for sex. He said he didn't want to he didn't want to introduce her to his parents. And she's like, we only ever go to like hotel rooms. Yeah, because he's embarrassed to be seen with you. So he just wants to fuck you.
She wears a lot of leopard print. I mean, come on.
I mean, yeah, I know. And then she immediately takes an interest in Richie. She gets over it real quick, and she sees that big nose, and she's like, sign me up.
What that nose do?
What that nose do? Mm-hmm.
She calls him Pecker for
she
short.
Knows.
The nose plays.
The nose plays. So then we're at Deanna's father's restaurant. He owns an Italian joint.
In our Italian restaurant.
I like this.
I know. The local mob boss Luigi, played by Ben Gazzara, is asked by one of the detectives, played by Anthony LaPaglia.
Joe from Empire Records. And So I Married an Ex-Murderer.
Oh my God, I love him in So I Married
He looks like
an
a Baldwin.
Oh no.
Yeah, he looks like a Baldwin if a Baldwin had sex with Bob Hoskins and then had a baby.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
He kept saying that, like, it's a Baldwin. It's a Baldwin. I'm like, I didn't say anything, but I'm like, oh,
was he saying it like, was he saying it like Super Mario? Is it like, it's a Baldwin.
No.
Mamma mia.
No. I'm offended.
So Anthony Appiah is asking Ben Gazzara for help on the 44 caliber killer. Anthony Appiah also has a African-American partner who is not allowed to talk to Ben Gazzara, basically. But he does get some like veal parmesan.
They're like, try it.
It was nice.
Like,
real good.
The veal parmesan.
Gets that.
His fro is absolutely perfect.
I love everything about I love the costuming and everything in this movie. It's really good.
His suit is perfect. The maroon suit.
Oh, I love it. The really then, big lapels. On
and
the
then
shirts.
And then, of course, they basically had to, you know, the goons there had to put him in his place. They didn't call him the N-word outright. But
no,
he's like,
they didn't.
He's like, so he's sitting there saying, like, you know, fuck Mickey Mantle. It was Willie Mays. Willie Mays is the best. And then they're like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
you know.
He was trying to be in with the in crowd and be funny, but they didn't play.
No, they're still racist.
You don't play.
So meanwhile, Ruby is discussing her current predicaments at the salon. So she's getting her hair done by Vinny. Vinny's a hairdresser. Ruby is getting her hair done. Okay.
She's getting it blown out.
Vinny works at a salon that is owned by the first Broadway diva in this movie, Miss Bebe Neuwirth.
Yes.
He's also fucking her.
We also, our listeners who don't follow Broadway know her from The Faculty.
Yes. She's also in The Faculty. Richie comes in asking for money.
Oh, and Jumanji.
Yes. She's the aunt.
Isn't
Jumanji.
Isn't she the, she's in How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Yep. She's the boss. She's the
boss. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Also, probably most famous on Broadway for playing Velma Kelly in Chicago.
Was that the Catherine Zeta-Jones one?
Yes. Yeah. Like one of the original runs of Chicago. She was Velma Kelly.
Ah. Like Richie, Ariana.
I think no, Ariana plays.
She's playing Roxy.
She's playing Roxy, yeah. So Richie comes in asking for money because he's been kicked out and forced to move into his garage after working in on his mother. Second Broadway diva in this movie, fucking Patti LuPone. And you see her titties.
Titties!
Fantastic.
Fantastic titties.
Outstanding.
So he walked in on his mom and his stepdad, like,
getting it on.
Going to Pound Town.
And his stepdad.
The stepdad's the
is
guy from
your movie.
And. Yeah, he is.
He's in Ace Ventura.
And Dumb and Dumber.
No, he's in Dumb and Dumber,
Dumb and Dumber.
But he's just
Dumb
like,
and Dumber.
He's like, oh, yeah. He's some sort of crooner. And
yeah,
then,
he's like a crooner.
And then they start fucking, and he walks in. And
he's like, we're newlyweds.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
He says, how did they know I got gas?
Yeah. So Ruby offers to help Richie fix up the garage, make it cool. And that night, after they finish redecorating, Ruby attempts to blow him. Richie says no. You don't gotta do all that.
He's so respectful.
So respectful.
Or it's because he's getting flashbacks of what he probably did the day before.
Well, we're not there yet.
Oh, right.
So Richie says he doesn't want to have sex with her because he likes her.
Just would watch you like me to play know? My guitar, would you?
Would you like to know more?
Yeah. Back at the salon, Vinny and his boss Gloria, okay, they're having sex because Vinny basically taps everything in this movie.
Which is so disgusting. I literally would rather watch Steve Buscemi have sex.
Yeah, I don't really want to watch him have sex.
Then John Leguizamo having sex in this movie, and then how he's talking about, like later
you
when
you
see
his old face.
When he's talking to Richie about what he wants to do with the wife,
uh-huh.
He's like, the butch, you know, up the ass.
He's got a heart.
69. Damn, you know,
like, it is gross.
Like, so you're saying he did a really good job being a scum bucket.
Oh, he deserves an Oscar.
No doubt.
What he did in this movie.
He's just the epitome of a pig.
So Anthony and Brian, the Goombas that live in the neighborhood, they tell Richie, am I not allowed to say that word?
We're going to get banned.
I can't say Goomba?
Are you Italian?
Yeah.
Well, then yeah.
Today we are.
Yeah, today everyone
today
is
we
Italian.
Are. Everyone
I'm
is.
Just saying. I'm just saying.
I'm an Italian by injection.
I was going to say. I was going to say. You
little
are.
Cannoli, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Little cannoli, little sfogliatelle.
Oh.
I don't like sfogliatelles.
It's all right.
What are those? Are those gross cookies?
No. They're the they have many layers and are full of that like lemon almond cheese.
Oh yeah, no,
that
shit.
And they're crispy on the outside.
It's so dry.
No. So dry.
It's got
so
powder good. All over.
That
of,
shit is
not my fave. Anywho,
so Richie takes Ruby to a gay theater.
What makes it gay?
All the men that are watching him.
Him. Pretend
you're
to
telling
have
me that hold on
dick.
I just thought that there were different acts and like this act was
no, it's
a dude
it's
and
a gay
then,
theater
it's a gay the guys are drooling over him putting a doll in his crotch like,
were there other types of theaters did he try out for them first
I don't know we don't get a backstory
it's really funny who's the guy that plays
so the guy who owns the theater is named Midnight is Michael Imperioli from
oh
the,
Christopher
the, Christopher from
Christopher
the Sopranos
from the
Christopher
he was actually supposed to be Richie but he was doing the Sopranos and he couldn't get out of that so
yeah, I couldn't imagine him with a mohawk
I or, love Michael Imperioli
or the you know the dread or not the dread thing
who,
but the
it's another nose
thing.
Guy
yeah for those who don't watch the Sopranos he was also in the last season of the White Lotus
he was also on Law and Order. Regular Law.
He's a pretty great actor.
Yeah, he is great. So during Richie's performance, he asks Ruby what she likes to do as she is too hot to be given it away for free. Outside the theater, Ruby admits that she has fallen for Richie and begins dressing in punk, so she has no identity of her own.
No.
All she's got to do is rip up her fucking fishnets she already got.
Well, she starts... Well, she also blondes her hair because the 44 caliber killer kind of went around that he was targeting brunettes.
Mm-hmm.
So tons of women in 1977 went and dyed their hair blonde. Well, and Bebe Neuwirth says, like, fuck that guy. I'm not dyeing my hair. I'm like, well, your hair is black. It's going to take forever to get your hair blonde. But plus, she had fabulous hair.
And then the father, like, Leguizamo's father-in-law, like, or Mira Savino's dad's like, honey, take this.
Oh, use her a wig.
For your protection.
Yes.
They got me to be in there.
He's a good dad.
Yeah.
He is a good dad.
After yet another letter
to the police. I don't care that you have a scumbucket of a son, but yeah, or a husband, but please, wear this wig so some random guy don't shoot you.
After yet another letter to the police from the Son of Sam, Vinny's paranoia reaches a boiling point. I'm sure the coke isn't helping with that. And although Deanna tries to comfort him and, you know, do the sex stuff that he wants, he can't perform. He says, let's just have sex like a normal. I can't do this with my wife. Let's just have sex normal.
She's trying to get real freaky naughty.
Yeah.
She actually, yeah, she put that wig on.
She puts the wig on. She's wearing like a nice, you know, lingerie. She's that's a theme. That's a theme in my movies, apparently.
They got a sex wing.
They got they're role playing.
Mm-hmm. They made a little dungeon.
He says, can I call you Handcuffs? Sherry? I'm going to call you Sherry.
Oh, God.
And she says, can I call you Vincenzo?
You dirty girl, Sherry.
Oh, it's disgusting.
You like it up the ass.
And then
you can't do that with her. Because she's literally blowing him. Apparently, she's not allowed to blow him either.
No.
So
no.
With his wife, he's only allowed to have a missionary? Like, what the fuck?
He's like, no, I can't do this. I can't do this. You're my wife. I can't do this. And now we got to take a break so we can listen to one of the great other great podcasts in the Deluxe Edition Network.
We'll be right back.
Welcome to Drink O'Clock, the podcast that's always happy hour. Join us each week as we sit down with interesting guests over a drink and talk about life, work, and everything in between. Whether you're sipping on a cold beer, a glass of wine, or your favorite cocktail, Drink O'Clock is the perfect way to unwind and hear some amazing stories. So tune in to Drink O'Clock every week, anywhere you can find podcasts, and join the conversation. Cheers.
Now we're back.
Hey, honey, give me that sheet. I'm going to cut a hole in it.
Oh, are you Mormon? Or an Amish person?
They basically are.
Yeah, like, he's just they like, are.
And he can't even do missionary. Apparently he's saying, that he's like, I want to do butt stuff and six. But he can't even last long enough to do missionary with his smoking hot wife. You notice that? He was just like, done.
Because he feels,
at a certain point, you just tape a stick to it. You know?
Oh, yeah. That was the saddest, sexy. I'm going to quote, love making I've ever seen.
There was some, like a little seizure on top of her body. And
yeah.
Then, and
it
then
was like, three pumps?
Three
pump chump.
So Luigi decides to take matters into his own hands because the police are making no headway with the Son of Sam. And he wants to catch the killer and offers another $5,000 to the reward, hoping to at least get more names on their list of suspects. Meanwhile, at a pizzeria, Joey T, Anthony, Brian, and the heroin addict Woodstock are devising their own list, which is primarily made up of the guy who plays for the Yankees.
Reggie Jackson. Mr. October.
Because his number is 44. And at the top of their list, however, is Richie. They don't like his crazy punk ways. Well, no, he's turning her into a porn star.
No, they had the priest, the nom guy.
I know, I'm not reading them all.
But Richie really didn't come into the list until later after the diner scene, okay. I thought. All I'm right. Sorry.
Well, here we go. While at a diner, Vinny and Richie discuss their relationships but are asked to leave as Richie is scaring some of the patrons. And then before a fight can break out, Richie breaks a glass over his head to intimidate the other customers and then, like, basically licks the blood off his hands.
He's a creep.
It's weird. It's an odd scene.
How much you want to bet Adrian Brody actually did that?
Oh, he's a crazy method actor.
I'll message Spike. I'll ask him.
It's really cringe.
Okay, cool. So as they walk down the beach, Richie tries to explain himself to Vinny, but the conversation proved to be too deep for him to follow, again, on all the drugs. With temperatures reaching 104 degrees, blackouts hit the five boroughs, so that was also happening, rolling blackouts in the city. To defend themselves in their neighborhood from the Son of Sam, Luigi has a block party for everyone, while Joey T leads the mob to patrol the neighborhood, basically beating and attacking anyone who looks mildly suspicious, including a priest.
I don't have a problem with this.
Lurking around
their car.
Yeah.
He goes, Father, we're going to need to see what's in your car.
Well, yeah.
Pop the trunk. Give me the keys.
And then,
they're checking it. They're enforcing curfews. this is good community, like,
this is vigilantism.
Leadership.
It's a lynch mob.
And then the guys are
don't
like,
start none.
Father, can you won't say a prayer? None. And he's like, forgive these boys.
Forgive these boys.
And he goes, Father,
they know
bless
not
us.
What they do.
Bless us. All right, Father, come on.
Bless us.
Yeah,
yeah, it was
go.
Weird when they popped the trunk and, like, three little boys ran out.
Oh, my God.
I don't remember that part.
No.
Because they didn't run. They were tied up.
So Richie, Vinny, Deanna, and Ruby are having dinner. Richie invites Deanna and Vinny to come to CBGB's because his band is playing there.
What's this place?
Did you know about that?
CBGB?
Yeah.
What is the CBGB?
While in the bathroom, Deanna asks Ruby for advice because Ruby also has fucked John Leguizamo.
That's where good advice comes from.
Oh, God. And Ruby said the best advice would have been not to marry him, but... So they, Vinny and Deanna go to CBGB's, but they're scared off by all the possible, by the people outside. They're also dressed to go to disco, basically. He's wearing a white suit. She's wearing like a red fringe dress. She looks great.
She looks amazing.
Got, she's got a white, like a platinum blonde wig on.
I love it. So they try to get into Studio 54 instead. I love all this like 70s shit. It's amazing. But Studio 54, notoriously hard to get into. So they are led away and they meet somebody else coming out of Studio 54 who invites them to another club, Plato's Retreat, which was a real place. There, he and Deanna get stoned and have sex and three ways and yum.
Yeah, it's just basically like...
Is that the orgy scene?
That's the orgy.
Yeah, that's the orgy.
Uh-huh. The orgies.
Yeah.
There were people's like, there were buttholes in the air and there were boobies and there were things going into other things.
It was just kind of weird though because it had like a weird green light to it. So
yeah.
It was like...
You get to see John Leguizamo's cum face.
Ugh.
He looked...
That was a genuine Lodi shot clear across the room.
Yeah. Deanna's having sex with like two dudes at the same time, basically. On the
I
way
thought
home...
It was, I thought
she
it was
sandwiched.
A woman. That's
she
why,
sandwiched.
Or
sure,
they
yeah.
were like women and that's why
well,
you could call her...
I mean, it's an orgy. There's people everywhere. So on the way home, Vinny, because he's a piece of shit, mocks mm-hmm. and already embarrassed and humiliated Deanna out of jealousy more than anything, obviously.
It was his idea. He goes, oh.
I know.
Do you think he fucks you better than me?
Yeah. And then in the fight, Deanna reveals that she knew he had sex with her cousin because she could smell his pussy juice all over his face.
Truffle butter.
And he's
stop
like,
stop saying truffle butter. It's so gross.
It's like Santorum.
It's disgusting.
Frothing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just like the soap suds, but it's like brown, you know?
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Accumulates right. on the ring.
So disgusting.
All right.
A frothagoo.
Oh, my God.
Like a chocolate latte,
I learned
you know?
A new one. I learned a new term the other day. I was watching. I was looking at reels on Instagram. I can't remember what it's called now, but it's basically the act. I feel like it's called like...
This is a reel
trombone.
On Instagram?
It was a reel on Instagram.
Snarling dragon.
No, it's basically... I'm assuming.
Stanley
oh
Tucci.
No, it's like a thing that like people who like are religious, instead of saying they had sex, they do this, where it's basically like the guy inserts his dick, but they don't move; they just lay on top of each other, dick inserted, but no movement. Therefore, it's not.
So
sex.
It's buffering.
Oh, that's scalping or whatever you call
it's scalping?
It. Scalping.
I thought that was buffering.
No, it's called like. It's, I forget what it's called.
How can
oh,
it be
the
Coneheads
did it.
They're inside.
No. Buffering is like you go. And then you stop moving and you're like, it's like your computer where it's like, it's buffering, it's loading, you know, like
it's kind of like docking.
So you're not like, eh.
Apparently it's like what the like Mormons do so they can say that they're still, they also like to have anal sex.
Yeah, I thought,
that's technically not
I thought Mormons
either.
Were butt stuffed through holes and sheets. We should
who has
again.
Anal sex
we gotta
sober?
We gotta ask the MILF for me. They're way more progressive okay. in this sort of stuff than we are.
So we're on July 29th. Joey T and the others begin slashing the car tires of everyone on their list while we see the real Son of Sam descending further into madness, and he's now seeing the black dog talking to him to go out and kill. The next day at the diner, Vinny, Joey T, and the others are eating when the owner comes over and tells Vinny that he and Richie have been kicked out due to what happened. And this is when the other guys find out, like, he was like a vampire. He was like drinking his own blood, blah, 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 blah. Meanwhile, this is not the term I would use. This is what they call him in the movie. Bobby the Fairy.
I mean, he's a very feminine man.
Yet another friend of Joey T's group.
Quad pro quo alum.
Yes, he's an Uncle Buck. He also played Bootsy in Gilmore Girls. He sees Richie at the gay club. And then Richie basically threatens to kill him if he tells anybody. Because no one knows about his, you know, extracurriculars. He's joking, but Bobby the Fairy takes it literally and then tells everyone, like, he threatened to kill me. So now, again. And then that night, we see the Son of Sam kill yet another two victims in Brooklyn. So Joey T and the others are now beginning to suspect that Richie is the Son of Sam. They can't account for his whereabouts, so he must be a serial killer. Vinny stands up for him, saying that he knows Richie. He's like his brother. He wouldn't be the killer. They all reveal to Vinny that Richie has been dancing and shooting porn films with Ruby at the gay theater and asks if he knew that. And
it's not gay. There's a lady in it.
Yeah. And we see a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of a sex scene with Adrian Brody. Mm-hmm.
We also get the infamous Spike Lee crane shot.
Yes.
While Leguizamo, I can't believe they wasted the crane shot on him.
Yeah.
Are you saying cream shot?
Crane. One of Spike's key,
his friends.
Yeah, you
Spike's.
Know,
like, ooh, we're on a first name basis.
Dude, I told you we're his friends. But like one of Spike's character main traits of his films is he does like a shot where it's like zoomed, it's like on a at least one or two characters, and it looks like they're like just on a segue, basically, just moving forward while everything's rushing past them. Like they're, mm-hmm. and it's he's filming it from a crane. It's one of his tropes. It's a crane shot.
It's gold, Jerry.
It's gold.
It's a crane shot.
So Vinny's shocked by this news, but he still refuses to accept that Richie's the son of Sam, but reluctantly agrees to help Joey T and the others by telling them where Richie and his band perform. Joey T and Anthony go to CBGB's to try and find Richie. Vinny has already met up with him and kind of has warned him, and he begins to ask Richie, like, are you in a cult? Bobby the Fairy says you dance in a gay joint. And are you the son of Sam? Richie is upset.
This is also, he gets a new haircut, right?
Yeah, he has a mohawk.
A big blonde mohawk.
I love it.
Nobody likes your hair.
Nobody likes your hair. Richie is upset that Vinny would think that way about him, but is angered that he brought Joey T down to get him and walks off. They're in a fight. The following day, a composite sketch of the killer is released. It looks nothing like the son of Sam.
Or Richie.
Or Richie. And everyone sees something different. Joey T tries to convince Vinny that it's Richie. However, Vinny doesn't see any resemblance until Joey T draws in the spiky mohawk.
Do you think, like, the person that's was the witness would have remembered someone with spiky a spiky hair.
Mohawk with a yeah. blonde mohawk.
Yeah. I'm like yeah, what?
He had a platinum mohawk. He kind of had he had safety pins in his neck, and he was the Kurgan from Highland.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, come on.
So Vinny's freaking the fuck out. He's basically high all the time. He gets fired from his job.
Well, I mean, he quits.
Well, I mean, yeah, he quits and he calls, what's her name?
That was a lot.
That was hard to watch.
I know, it's rough.
Because he's fucked up out of his gourd because, you know, his wife won't come home rightfully.
What car does he drive? It's like a red.
It was a convertible, I think.
No, it's not a convertible.
Well, no.
I thought it was a Camaro.
It is.
Yeah, it was a Camaro.
No, but it is a convertible because the top was down. When they were leaving, when the whole, like, I'm a whore, I'm gonna go, when, like, they have their big blow up.
Yeah, okay. All right, so when he gets home, Deanna leaves him.
Good.
She's leaving. He's trying real hard, and she's like, I just don't believe you anymore.
I love how he shows up to the dad's house, and he's like, Vinny, don't let everybody know your business.
And tomorrow's another day.
Try again tomorrow.
Yeah.
Come on, she's safe with me. Okay, I got her tonight.
Don't
you
worry.
Talk to her tomorrow.
I'll protect her from the son
well,
of Sam.
Well, in their world, the divorce is probably worse.
I'll let you come back
well,
and, you
thank
know.
You, Catholicism.
Yeah.
This is true.
So he's spiraling and, again, cocaine and Quaaludes. Just uppers and downers. Fun. Really Woo! Good. Really good combo.
That's how you even out.
Really good combo.
Party. Okay.
So Richie's back at his parents' garage. Joey T and the others decide to make their move and capture Richie and take him to Luigi because they think he's the son of Sam. They break into Vinny's house to find him stoned and force him to come help lure Richie out of the house, promising not to hurt him. Unbeknownst to them, during this time, the police have captured David Berkowitz.
Ladies and gentlemen,
cop?
They got him.
You pointed that out. The cop is the guy from The Thing.
Yeah, the guy who's the lead investigator in the Son of Sam case, Quad Pro Quo alum. He is the...
He's in what? The thing.
He's the
redhead who gets shot in the leg.
And like, he's the one that gets set on fire, like, outside. He's the one who's like...
He's the one where
okay.
You hear the noise. Yeah, that's him. Vinny comes knocking on Richie's door and tells him that Deanna left him. Richie invites him in, but Vinny asks him to come outside, not wanting Ruby to hear. As the two talk, because they're going to leave, Ruby and Richie. Yeah, they're going to, like, move to California and do porn out there. Because, yeah, why not? As the two talk, Vinny tries to tell Richie to run, but before he can, Joey T and the others spring on him. He's trying to beat them away with his Fender Stratocaster.
Yeah, it's a Fender Strat.
Okay.
Nice sunburst.
Nice sunburst.
Well, no, that's the paint job. Oh. It's a sunburst.
They beat the shit out of him. Ruby is restrained by Bobby the Fairy as they drag Richie off. They don't get too far as Richie's stepfather, Eddie, comes out of the house brandishing a Luger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's got a World War II
German
handgun.
Well, he probably fought in World War II.
But why would he have a German gun?
Spoils of war.
Stole it off a Nazi.
That's my gun.
As Joey T tries to explain who Richie is, Eddie reveals to them that the cops have already caught the son of Sam.
They caught him over there.
In Yonkers.
A cabagool.
Yamook.
Much to the group's surprise. As they begin to leave, Vinny can only look at a bloodied and beaten Richie with guilt and weakly attempts to apologize to his former friend before walking away. And then we get the end of the movie. We're back with Jimmy Breslin.
Blech.
He recaps the events of the summer of 1977, basically saying, you know,
this is what happened in the movie that you just watched.
It was a parking ticket that did him in. And then talks about, the, you know, other stuff like the Yankees and all that. All right, so that's the end of the movie. Jimmy Breslin tells us, again, not just about Summer of Sam, but also like the Yankees and like the brownouts.
Is he related to Abigail Breslin?
I don't know.
Oh, I thought you'd want to look that up or something.
If Jimmy Breslin is related to a child star who's not in this movie? Yeah, well, I was going to do that.
Not a very common last name.
Okay. All right, so.
How dare you ask that question?
How dare I? Piece of shit.
All right, so this movie cost $22 million and only made $19.3.
Didn't almost make
money
made
back.
It.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy, that's yeah. terrible.
It only sits at a 50% on Rotten Tomatoes. It actually was not a well-received or reviewed movie.
Yeah.
But
It's
considered one of his not as good ones.
I made the joke with him.
I feel like that's surprising.
I love it.
I made the joke with him.
Made the joke with
Spike. I was like, hey, man, if this was a Spike Lee joint, you filled it with some skunk weed. It did not go over well.
You said that to him?
Yeah, we didn't talk for several days.
Oh.
Several days.
Poor Spike. So Spike Lee was facing a lot of negative feedback from the family members of the victims who did not want a film being made. Might glorify the killer. Basically, this movie was going to be a Son of Sam biopic. But because of the backlash he got, which I'm surprised he buckled because Spike Lee usually doesn't give a fuck, he changed the script to focus more on the community of people rather than the killer himself. It was originally going to be called Son of Sam, and he changed it to Summer of Sam.
I mean, I can
But then there were other things called Summer of Sam. Or Son... There were other things made called Son of Sam.
I know, but those are usually like documentaries.
Yeah. That's from what... We saw it by searching, looking for the movie to buy.
And I mean, in this day and age, I mean, I'm sure like Ryan Murphy will probably make a TV show about
it. He does glorify serial killers.
And he doesn't give a fuck. I mean, he already did Jeffrey Dahmer. What's the Son of Sam, right?
Yeah.
So.
Agreed. So 2 minutes of the film were cut, mostly from the club orgy scene, to get an R rating instead of an NC-17.
Okay.
No, yeah. That was longer, that scene.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Listen, there were a lot of skin on screen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I appreciate it. The word fuck is said 435 times in this 142-minute film, an average of 3 fucks a minute.
I thought that was nice.
That's wild.
It's a lot. It's mostly accurate. Him... When he's talking, I'll be so fucking good. I'll get you fucking like it's every other word is fuck.
Oh, the groveling scene was insane.
I swear to God, I'm gonna fucking do better.
I'm gonna give it all. Blah, 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 blah.
He starts hitting himself, and he's like, I'm gonna go to church. I'm gonna get a psychiatrist.
Yeah, one of my favorite facts: Sarah Michelle Gellar was originally cast as Ruby, Jennifer Esposito's character. Kind of fucking love that.
She would have looked like super fucking young, right? Because, I mean...
This is 1999, so this was right around when she was Buffy.
Yeah, I mean...
Which is probably why she couldn't do it.
I think it was the accent.
She just couldn't do a New York accent.
At least Esposito kind of looked older, because I felt like then it would have been a little more like... At that time, Sarah Michelle Gellar did look young.
She probably wasn't allowed to do it because of the WB being like, no, you're on, like, a child show.
You're a teen star.
You cannot be blowing Adrian Brody.
On the WB.
But you know who can blow him?
Jennifer Esposito. Leonardo DiCaprio and Benicio Del Toro originally considered for the lead roles.
Ooh.
Of what? Benicio Del Toro is Richie?
I think Benicio Del Toro would have been...
Vinny.
So would
Leonardo
he
DiCaprio would have been Richie.
Would he basically have just...
No.
He would have reprised his role of The Usual Suspects, where he'd be sitting there talking to the fact.
Yeah.
I want the 69. I want the bus stuff. I just don't fucking care.
I would like it more.
I don't know if I would have liked it with Leo in it.
I don't think I would have either.
Do you think that
I don't
him...
think he could do the punk rock scene now. Sorry.
So... Adrian Brody's fake English accent because he wants to be punk and this is who he wants to emulate.
Yeah.
Do you think like he was told to do that or he came up with that affectation
himself? Well, there's an emphasis a lot on like his obsession with The Who, which is a really cool scene in the movie with the playing Bob O'Reilly. There's great music in this movie.
And there's a poster on the ceiling of his bedroom.
What's the whole deal with them guys pissing on that rock?
Yeah.
no one mentioned anything about him and his, you know, how comfortable his parents were with his nudities.
I don't think they knew he was doing gay porn.
No, I'm saying he was walking around in his underwears.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
his dick was like inches from his mom's face while she was playing cards.
Well, you know,
mom was more upset that he stole all the gear to make that fuck doll for his staged show from the house. She was looking She was looking for that mop. She was looking for those pillowcases.
Oh, yeah, he comes in. He's wearing like tidy whities. Yeah, and he's like, "Can I have $20?" And the stepdad's like, "Well, we got to give him allowance." She's like, "Richie, take $20. Get the fuck out of here." Like,
I think
some fucking pants on.
Patti LuPone.
I think it's because you know, he had the hair all spiked up, so they were all going to be looking at that because he looked like a fucking freak with that. So they weren't going to be looking down there.
More upset about his hair than they
were more upset with his hair and his upper beak than possibly seeing his lower beak.
Yeah.
Which I'm pack sure of heat. Is sizable.
He's got a curled.
I mean, what do you think?
Like
the nose is
meat
what
hammer.
Do you think is down there. I mean, let's go.
I mean, it didn't leave much to the imagination.
Well, hold on a second. Everything looks gigantic when you're wearing 8-year-olds tidy whitey underwears. Okay.
They weren't tidy whiteys. They were blue.
But they were the tidy whitey style.
And they were nice.
And they were a few sizes too small, much like every shirt he wore in this movie.
You sound like, oh my god,
said it on purpose like that.
You said, you sound, and now I know where your kid gets it from when she's watching. He's like, this is really nice.
All right, well, around the room, pass, fail, Summer of Sam. Who would like to go first? Tammy?
I will pass it.
Yay!
You know how I feel about my Italian men.
Oh, I know.
And their little, how they speak to one another.
The hands.
The loudest of hands.
The hands and the go fuck your mothers and the...
Let me also say why I picked it. Obviously, the Italians for you. Good music, good cause.
Oh, the scenes with the costumes.
The costumes.
And the 70s, everything. The dance. Oh, the dance
plus
club.
Plus, I know you like guns and murder. And you know we get to see some heads blown
boxes,
off, basically.
Checked.
Deanna's outfit.
Ugh.
Ugh. She's just a hot...
She's a hot piece of ass.
Piece of ass.
She still looks good, too. She still looks good. Other Oscar winner in this movie.
Oh, yeah. Mira Sorvino. That's right. Yeah.
Does John Leguizamo have an Oscar?
No, Adrian Brody and Mira Sorvino.
I feel like
Oscars.
That's a crime, because what he did in this movie was incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he also was in the Super Mario Brothers movie.
So I canceled the rest of his career
and
out.
That's why he's never allowed to win an Oscar.
Oh, I thought it was The Pest that did it.
Ugh. The Pest is awful.
God, he's in this other movie.
And also Spawn.
Spun.
That's that meth movie.
I fucking hate that movie. It's so gross.
Yeah.
Did John Leguizamo need meth?
No, there was like this period of time where all those drug movies came out. So it was like Go, Spun,
Crash,
Rules of Attraction, like Blow. All those drug movies
Steel
came out.
Steel Magnolias.
Yeah.
Magnolias was on today. Matt?
Hey, you know, honestly, again, he's probably going to listen to this episode. I know he is.
Most likely.
He is one of our... Spike. I'm pretty sure he is one of our biggest fans, like, behind Tammy 2 and Taylor.
What about Ice-T?
Well, I'm not...
Ice-T, too.
I mean, yeah. Hopefully, we can bridge that together, and they could all come on, and we'll have, like, a great collaboration. Spike Lee, Ice-T.
This is my favorite podcast for Ice-T's Tub Time.
You're going to hell.
I do enjoy this movie. I mean, it is long, and at certain points you do feel it.
I don't.
But like certain scenes, I'm just like, okay, all right. One of my favorite scenes, of course, was the Who are considered like some of the godfathers of the punk music genre.
Right.
But they use the least punk sounding.
Yeah, Bob
song,
O'Reilly's not punky.
Yeah, but I mean, the soundtrack's great. The setting is great. I know it's not one of his best movies. He's definitely done better, but he's also done worse. Look at the Old Boy remake. But
and he's your friend. So
and he is my friend. I mean,
friend's movie.
That was another time that we had a falling out when I found out he was remaking Old Boy.
Oh.
But no, I pass it.
Thanos.
Wonderful.
Guido. He'll be so happy you passed it.
Guido?
Oh, Ultra Mega Pass. It was awesome. I liked this movie a lot.
Yes!
I liked it a lot. I like Spike Lee joints. Seriously, he nailed the setting on this. Not that I was alive back then, but like
you can feel it.
Yeah, and it was a real tight movie. Like he runs a tight show. I love this movie.
Yeah.
All the violence was nice and
lots
you
of
know,
headshots.
All
the drugs.
All the headshots.
All
you
the
know
headshots.
What I'm saying?
Headshots.
Seriously, the whole time I'm just like, yeah. That's why my dad said I couldn't watch this movie. This is fucking raunchy shit.
Oh, yeah.
And I really like all their accents, and it made me feel like, I don't know, it was comforting.
It's so funny.
Hearing these assholes.
When I first started dating Guido, and we used to go over on Sundays, every Sunday was family dinner, his dad would put on Rome on HBO for us to watch. And then every time scene would come on, he'd be like, oh, God, okay, all right. We know what's going to happen here.
I love when parents get uncomfortable in sex scenes.
But we'd always watch it. It wasn't like a oops.
Oh, okay.
It was like, I want to watch it, and I know my kid's here, and I don't care that he's here, but there's ladies here, so I'm going to be...
He'd
like,
go, ah, jeez.
Ah, jeez.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, Come on. Yeah. What is it with this?
I know.
Fast forward.
It's really funny. It was like...
That's so funny.
It was like watching a sex movie with your dad.
That's like when my parent went... my parents rented that movie, Enemy at the Gates. You remember that movie?
Yeah.
Yeah. They didn't know that there was, you know, like a...
Oh, the battle fuck?
Where they fuck with all those people around, the Rachel Weisz and Jude Law. They're like... sleeping in like a tunnel with all these other refugees. Yeah, but they have
four jackets. Okay,
yes.
You hide,
like,
under the jackets.
We're all watching it. My mom's like, "Uh-oh."
Yeah,
because this is when we were younger. Kyle was younger, so
it's
like,
hot Russian missionary style. This is our comrade.
Did he reach to kiss Rachel Weisz like in The Holiday?
Were they buffering? No, they were not buffering.
All right, well, passes all around.
Yeah,
so glad everyone liked it.
Good job.
I didn't watch this movie. I used to watch it a lot. I was really obsessed with this movie. Again, the Adrian Brody. This is the movie that did it for me with him. This is what got me into him so bad.
It was the Mohawk.
At the end of this movie, I was just like, this is a good move. That was a good movie.
Yeah.
Liked it.
The nose plays. Next week for Guido Appreciation Month, Matt's pick. Matt, quid pro quo.
Well, but I just got to remember when we had Matt Appreciation Month, and you just showed me that delightful film, Top Gun Maverick, because you said I needed to see it, right? So I was just thinking, I remember, you know, we always talk about favorite directors and everything, and you said yours was David Lynch, because you love Dune 84. So I was just like, oh, man, but he probably wants to do Dune 84 this month. So my idea was, I'm going to do another David Lynch movie, and it's produced by Dino De Laurentiis, like Dune 84.
I didn't watch Blue Velvet. How
and
are you
it
going
stars
to
Kyle
it?
MacLachlan, Isabella Rossellini, and Dennis Hopper. Because fuck you for making me watch Top Gun.
Oh, you are not doing Blue Velvet today.
I said
no.
You had me print your notes.
I know.
That's a punishment for all of us.
I know. I kid. I say, we'll save it for David Lynch month.
I was
never
like,
doing that.
I was like, wait a minute. I didn't watch that movie.
I know. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
My movie came out in 1994. Directed by Stephen Hopkins and starring Forrest Whitaker, Lloyd Bridges, Jeff Bridges, and Tommy Lee Jones. My movie is Blown Away.
I'm so stoked for this.
And where can people watch it?
People can watch this. It is available on Max.
Awesome. So Blown Away for next week. We are at Quad Pro Quo Pod across Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Letterboxd, and we are part of the Deluxe Edition Network. You can learn more about us and the other podcasts on the network at deluxeeditionnetwork.com. Featured podcasts for the month of April are us.
What?
Yes.
Hey.
Yes.
Hey.
And also Drink O'Clock. And
I'll drink to that.
The Stephen Crypto Show. But us, more importantly.
All right. Way to bring the heat this month, guys. All right.
So check out some of our other episodes if
this
is your first time.
Absolutely. You can...
Spike, come on, man. Give us a plug in your next movie.
Yes. It'd be a movie about... What would a Spike Lee movie about podcasters be?
I don't know.
Come sock baby.
Okay.
Come sock baby.
Come sock dumpster baby.
Starring Denzel Washington.
He's the caretaker.
What the hell is going on here? There's this baby in this house that sucks cum out of the fabric of the stuff in the band.
No.
Well, there's a centrifuge involved.
Movie,
okay,
like.
That's how you get the cum out of the sheets.
Yes.
And then you put the cum into a giant, like, hamster water bottle so he can... Just
it's also
get it out of that
ball bearing.
There's
also a little boy down the street. He chops wood. He puts it in the fireplace at this house.
Yeah.
What happens?
There, your Uncle Gary doesn't have to be the cum sock baby caretaker.
Well, you should have paid the boy.
It'll be Denzel Washington. Yes.
You did pay that boy, didn't you?
So you can suggest a theme month by sending us a message on social media or via our website. And please rate and review us wherever you podcast. And until next week, thank you for listening.
Bye.
Bye.